keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay in full effect, as usual. what else is new? And we have some more news straight and directly from our beloved community of Nashville. You know, we get our community news in multiple places, but we're always happy to check in with the Dr. Forrest Harris, the president of the illustrious American Baptist College, one of our city's historically black colleges and universities. And Dr. Harris, I know that it doesn't seem like 20 years that you've been there, but you have, and I'm like, congratulations on that. Hello, Dr. Harris?
Yes.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I know you're busy. Had your head down. I know you did. You was in the, you was in praying. I know you were. in prayer mode. Anyway, congratulations. You got a 20th anniversary coming up here real soon. And, you know, the school has got an important anniversary. You all are doing great things there.
Well, thank you so much. We are excited about these milestones mm-hmm. that the college has achieved. 95 years of mm-hmm. existence, educating men and women for social justice work and leading churches and many other things that now our graduates are doing.
Yes.
And so we're very proud of those 95 years of social justice institution.
Yes.
Civil rights movement champion. All those things mark the school's history.
Yeah, definitely. Now, it doesn't seem like you've been there as long as you have. And, you know, because, you know, when you do good work, time flies. The challenges that you have overcome and been able to sustain the institution, can you give us a little glimpse into just, you know, real quick, what it in 20 years ago, where they were, and today where they are, knowing the history of the institution?
Well, Sharon, it has been a joy mixed with struggle mm-hmm. Over these 20 years to serve an institution like American Baptist College that has such a rich history and impact upon Nashville and the nation mm-hmm. in terms of the people it has graduated, and they've gone on to do great work. And so in the midst of the struggle laying next door to joy and celebrating these accomplishments, as a historically black college, we were grandfathered in back in 2013 mm-hmm. as an official historically black college, which gave us eligibility for support from the Department of Education. And those funds coming from the Department of Education have been critical mm-hmm. in helping us sustain the future of the college. There have been times prior to that designation wherein the doors of the college were constantly being challenged because of support needs from the National Baptist Convention, mm-hmm. support from our donors and supporters and alumni, and it's always been a struggle. And any HBCU can testify to what American Baptist College has gone through. It is by the grace of God and the purpose for which its mission exists, and people being passionate about it that have kept the doors of the school open. Mm. And I'm glad to have been a part of that history here at American Baptist College for the last 20 years.
No question.
But what it looked like when I was here 20 years ago was a real threat against its future. Mm. We didn't know whether we were going to be able to make it. Mm. Deficits and challenges of all sorts faced us. But we were able to get through it, get some good people here, get some great people on the Board of Trustees, great board members on our trustee board mm-hmm. that really worked hard and kept us going.
Well, and I am very excited and look forward to the continuing next 20, 40 years for you all as one of our city's educational institutions. And I got to tell you, Dr. Harris, you know, I've interviewed you a bunch of times. But my point is that when I have pastors on the show, on Sundays especially, I would say one out of four or two out of four are your alum. And they all give honor and praise to American Baptist College every time they're on this radio station at WFSK. And they are the ones that represent the image and the school and the history so well. In these 95 years of existence, who are some of your most well-known alum?
Well, in these 95 years, you know the ones that are just icons.
Yes.
John Lewis, congressman from Georgia, who was here during the civil rights movement. C.T. Vivian, the intellectual activist, known around the world for his activism for justice.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Julius R. Scruggs, former president of the National Baptist Convention. Those are the kind of icons.
Mm-hmm.
James Devil, Bernard Lafayette, who was a former president. Then most recently, I think sometimes those icons overwhelm us, but I think at the grassroots level and unknown sheroes and heroes of American Baptist College who graduated,
mm-hmm.
people like Don Darius Butler, who now is the chair of the board of the college,
mm-hmm.
and now also pastor of the First Missionary Baptist Church in Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous young man and with great skills, talent, and abilities. And he is now chairing the board of the college,
mm-hmm.
graduated from school in the last 10 years. Damien Durr, who's executive pastor at Friendship West Baptist Church, one of the largest churches in the country, is serving as the executive pastor there under Dr. Freddie Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
We got Raheem Buford, who was incarcerated for almost 20-plus years. We have an inside-out program where the college went in and held classes with people like Raheem that were in prison. And I told him once he got out, not that he and he would get out, that I would have a full presidential scholarship
mm-hmm.
for him. And he did get out about 7 years ago and graduated from American Baptist College last May. So we are just excited about those graduates. And we have men and women serving in different places in the church and beyond the church,
uh-huh.
Doing great things in the community.
That's beautiful. Now, just real quick, because we're going to be talking with actually a minister, and he's one of my motivational speakers for the show, Reverend Adonis Lindsay. And Adonis, do you know Dr. Harris?
I don't, but I'm enjoying.
Oh, wait a minute. X needs to come in there and turn your mic on. Let me ask this one thing for sure. How does the American Baptist College work in conjunction with other educational institutions, and not just HBCUs, but educational institutions in general in Nashville?
Yes, well, it's been great to see how other colleges and universities in what we call the Athens of the South
mm-hmm.
built a kind of a collaborative relationship with American Baptist College. One is Belmont University. Bob Fisher, president of the school, has just been a great friend of the college. And as a matter of fact, he established a $100,000 scholarship for students here at the college. He came over, and that day it was a great surprise that another college president would make that kind of commitment toward another college.
True.
With a $100,000 check for scholarship for students.
Wow.
And programs at Belmont and so forth. We work well with Bob Fisher at Belmont University for the kind of support given, as well as Vanderbilt University. And, of course, I teach at the Divinity School, and a number of our students graduate from here and end up at Vanderbilt, and they are doing well and receive substantial report. And the program that I direct over at Vanderbilt is the Kellen Mills Institute on the Black Church.
Mm.
And through that program, we've had alliances in terms of grants that we've gotten from the Lilly Foundation and mm-hmm. programs to support and strengthen and sustain excellence in the church and pastoral excellence as well. Mm-hmm. So we've done some work with those kinds of institutions, but I'm also very proud of the work that we're doing with HBCUs, Meharry Medical College, as well as TSU and Fisk. And we're looking forward to having some future efforts with that consortium that we hopefully be able to announce in the near future.
Well, excellent. Well, you know you got to let us know over here. You know that, right?
Oh, yes. I got you. You know? Yeah. And we're just excited about this 20th and 95th year of the college, and we're celebrating that 95th and 20th year October the 10th at the Renaissance Hotel. It's a scholarship gala, and we have a goal of raising $200,000 that night. I told Dr. Glover, uh-huh. who just raised $1 million in one day for the AKAs and supporting the endowments of Historical Black College,
yes.
that she can help us raise that $200,000 at night. It'll be great. But
yes.
it is an exciting time for the college.
Yeah.
And we look forward to all of the community coming out and supporting this the history of the school, the milestones, and celebrating with us, because we hope and we believe the mission of the college, of American Baptist College, should be around for many years to come.
Amen. Amen. And that's Thursday, October 10th, right?
Yes, October 10th on Thursday. At the Renaissance Hotel, I think the reception starts at 5:30, and then the event itself starts at 7.
Now, Adonis, we have the X's push the button for you. Do you know Dr. Harris?
I don't, but I sure have enjoyed listening to him over the radio here.
Definitely. He's one of those pillars of Nashville.
Yes. Love it.
Are you familiar with the American Baptist College?
I am not, but I'm definitely going to Google it and go on to their website and check out more information.
Yeah.
So I thoroughly have enjoyed this conversation that you've had.
Dr. Harris, now, what's the address, the physical address, so you can actually, people can visit the American Baptist College?
It's 1800 Baptist World Center Drive.
Okay. Is that known as the Holy Hill?
It is known. It is known as the Holy Hill, and I want to say it is the Holy Hill.
It is.
Every person in the community of faith, there is such a thing in Nashville as a Holy
the
Hill.
Holy Hill.
Hey, Mr. President.
That does not mean perfection. It means striving toward.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Mr.
Amen.
President. Exum Lawson, class of 08.
Okay, that's right.
You got an alumni in the house.
Yeah.
So you know how many times we have to hear about ABC because of him.
The testimony is true.
Yes.
We really take seriously what social justice means and how students can be agents of social justice in the world through their pastorate.
Absolutely.
Their community activism, their community organizing.
And Dr. Harris, just I'm going to say this and then I'm going to let you go. Your event is next Thursday. Our major drive to keep WFSK alive starts on Friday. So if you can say an encouraging word right now to encourage the community of faith to support us so we can continue supporting you and everybody else in Nashville, could you please give us a word, please?
Yeah, no question, Sharon. It is important that every entity in the community that we represent needs to have a healthy future to continue its work, because your work there at your radio station, your broadcast, helps get the information that's necessary out there to keep our community informed mm-hmm. and to keep us aware of how we need each other as it relates to support. And the programs that you have are so informative that I think that the community will gladly and enthusiastically support you as you drive to keep your lines open.
Absolutely. This radio station is 46 years old, been a blessing to Nashville for 46 years, and our Radiothon Fund Drive is in its 14th year. So we can't help but wish you the best, because we need the best.
That's right. But we can do it. We can do it.
Absolutely.
Together we can do it.
Amen.
Together we can do it.
Amen. What's
and, I was going to say, Dr. Harris, bring those blazers back, sir. Bring those blazers back.
What's up? I will bring them back.
Please, bring those blazers back.
I know the blazer you're talking about.
Yeah, so even the alum, we can get those, get our hands on those blazers. Yeah.
Oh, you can be the dignified alum.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I got you.
You sure like your swag, don't you, son?
Well, consider them back. Consider them back.
Dr. Harris.
In the fall. Got to be in the
can
fall.
Can you, yeah,
definitely. It's too hot.
Dr. Harris, can you give your the American Baptist College website, please?
abcnash.edu.
Excellent. abcnash.edu. Dr. Forrest Harris, thank you so much. 20 years at the helm of American Baptist College, and they both are celebrating anniversaries. One is 95, one is 20 years of service. So Dr. Harris is
Jared,
20 years
thank
of
you
service.
So much. I hope to see you at the gala.
Well, you know, if the Lord says so, I'll be there.
The Lord just said so. The Lord just said so.
That said the Lord, right?
That said. Rabbi, I appreciate you more than I can say. I really, really do. And it's so good to hear your voice, okay?
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, bye-bye. Now, you know it's a nice affair because I'd have to get my hair done.
You got
to
get the hair done.
See?
Get your hair done, like, nails did, everything.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Got to step out.
Oh, you gotta... Lord, I have to check and see.
Sharon K in the house.
If the Lord says so, okay? Anyway, I hope that the folks come out and support one of our cities for historically black colleges. That's one celebrating 95 years. Dr. Harris has been a guest on my show for years. And most of these people I've talked to a bunch of times, they ought to know who I am. See, I had to buy a ticket, Adonis, you know, even though they, you know, I'm just saying because I got to give to everybody stuff.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things about, you know, when you have stuff, you want them to give, so, you know,
you need to give.
So I'm like, I'm always giving, y'all. I know a lot of folks that do things.
You get all the invitations.
I do.
I do.
And I feel all the guilt as well. Yeah. anyway, we're going to come back with, it's time for our empowerment, encouragement time with Adonis Lindsay, motivational speaker, author, and minister. And just all around great guest to have on. Anyway, so y'all can, those of you having a stressful day and all that, just exhale. We got you. Let's take a time out.
There you go.
And we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic continues trying to get up north here as we look at it live. I mean, it's really slow go on 65 north up past OHB through Madison all the way up to Vietnam Vets. There's a crash OHB right near the interstate in Hermitage. 6 there at James Robertson. We saw that wreck. 24 east near 440 trying to move that crash with injuries over to the side. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from the Center for Research on Men's Health at Vanderbilt University, now recruiting African-American men ages 35 to 54 for a weight loss program called TaylorMade Solutions for Your Health. TaylorMade was designed by, with, and for African-American men in Nashville to reach and maintain a healthy weight. Reaching and maintaining a healthy weight is one of the best ways for men to reduce their risk for heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers, and to have more energy to do things they care about. For more information, please email the TaylorMade team at taylormade@vanderbilt.edu or dial #250 and use the keyword TaylorMade. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, that's me. Me and the dogs were having a, we were talking swag, and I gave him one of our little kickstands. Is that not cool?
That is cool. I'm going to take a picture of it right now.
Oh, okay. For your phone, see. Because I see everybody with those suction cup things on the back, and their phone lays flat. And see, we got our kickstand, and ours is in your face.
Yep.
So you might be able to video with it, Adonis. Yeah. You see the station's name on there?
Oh, yeah. See? That's what it's all about.
Boom. Anyway, when was the last time? Last time you were stuck in Nashville traffic, you haven't learned yet?
No, I was here last time. That was like two visits ago.
Okay, because yes, I knew you were
yes,
stuck.
Yes, one
like,
time, yeah, you're like, oh, man, yeah.
I'm like, you didn't know? You just knew to Nashville? You didn't know we get stuck in traffic here? Nobody told you. But
I still did the show.
That's not the point.
But that's not the point. See, you're like, boy, you need to be in here, in this studio.
I cannot video this.
Yeah.
The phone.
There
okay.
You go. Yeah, you like.
Because y'all make me work too hard. I'm like, look, I'm trying to make you look good. What you doing?
Exactly.
So, you know, but I'm glad to see you. How's the family?
Family's doing good. Kids are growing. They're 9 and 7. And they're in baseball. My son's doing travel ball. And my little daughter, who I brought into the studio with me one day. You remember that?
Yes. Well, disciplined. Good girl. Didn't make noise.
She is doing competitive gymnastics.
Really?
Yes. So... we're running here and there, so you know how that is.
And she had her own headphones, if I'm not.
Yeah, you remember they were, what were they, green or pink or something?
Yeah, they
she
were lime
right
green.
Here, yes,
they were lime green.
Yes,
she did her. Girl, look at your fashion.
She did her own thing.
Fashion sale. She plugged in, and I was like, I am done with you. Just like matching outfit.
Exactly.
Headphones. I'm like, who's down to you?
Pray for me. Pray
for me. Right, for real. So, as a father... Speaking of pray for you, this time of year with the children are, young, but they're growing up fast.
Oh, absolutely.
And this world is showing them fast things and fast,
exactly. Exactly.
Everything in their world is fast, fast, fast.
Yeah, a lot faster than when you and I were coming up.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, so, night and day difference.
What kind of challenge is that for you to, instill positive time because you have to work and, et cetera. And then you don't have that much time at home, because everybody's got to eat dinner and get homework and bath and all that and boom. So what, besides gadgets, that for dads?
Yeah. I think the question you're asking is how to still keep the family time, how
sure.
to still, yeah. I think with that.
And not get stressed out.
Yes. Okay. I think with that because... I was just talking to me and my wife were talking the other day, and it's like, you got a family of four, kids are doing extracurricular activities. By the time they get home from school, 2 days a week, our little daughter's going to gymnastics, and she gets back home at 7:30. Our son goes to baseball practice. He'll get back home at 8:30. And so we try to, try to zero in on some times to where there is that, time where we're around the dinner table. Okay, these are the days we know we're going to eat dinner together. Like, unfortunately, tonight we're not eating dinner together because my little girl doesn't get home till 7:30. So, that is what it is because of our schedules. But we have to look at those times where, okay, these are free nights. Kids, you come home from school, do your homework. Yes, you want to go play with your friends, but there will be a time where we all come in together and help make dinner together. So that was one of the things my wife said, hey, we're going to make dinner together because it forces you to come in and be a part of the family, talk about your day. My wife's real good about asking the kids, hey, how did your day go?
Right.
You know, what happened at school? What fun stuff happened at school? I try to tell my kids, I try to instill something into them when they're going to school. I said, now, make sure you help somebody today.
Right.
Whatever that is. And so when they come home from school, it's like, who did you help out today? Because I want to get them into that mode of doing something and serving other people and helping people. So the dinner table is a real good one for us. Weekends as well, when we're not doing baseball games or something like that, it's like, hey, how can we all still come together? Whether that's go out to dinner together, we still like to do some family times where we go out to a movie. So that's a big thing for us. It's like the kids are excited. It's okay. Although, you know, you're sitting in the movie theater, you're not talking, but the family is still together. So we're talking on the ride to the
So theater. You mean to tell me in today's world that's still important?
Definitely, because
I'm shocked. I just don't how many cell phones does everybody have? I mean, you know.
And, you know, our kids is so funny. Like, they will see their friends with cell phones and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? You guys are 9 and 7. There will be a time where we're going to look at technology for you guys, but we're going to limit that as well because it's like we don't want that to take the place of interaction. And our kids are real good, Sharon Kay, about friend time. They love being outdoors, so that's a plus because a lot of kids will go home and play video games all day long. So our kids would rather be outside on any given day playing with their friends, so we love that. But then it's trying to prioritize that. Okay, you've got friend time, but we still need family time as well because that's important because, you know, you can get so busy and let the days go on and on and on. Then those days turn into weeks. Those weeks turn into months. And before long, you're like, man, we haven't, you know, connected as a family.
Right.
And we don't know what's going on in each other's world. And so I think the more you can take advantage of any time you're having together, there's times where we're sitting down, we multitask sometimes at dinner where we're eating dinner, but we also made it a game. So we will do a board game while we're eating dinner. And before the person can take, like, let's say it's my daughter's turn. Before she can take her turn at the game, she's got to eat some of her dinner.
Okay.
So that turns into a fun thing, making her eat her dinner while we're playing this board game.
Right.
And so we just try to be creative and multitask any way we can because that's still good quality time because our kids will remember that.
So as a parent and you're squeezing in whatever moments you have with them because of your schedule, do you also squeeze in some empowerment time? To, you know, you said you just mentioned what you do encouragement wise, you know, to teach them teamwork and, you know, doing something besides having machines and plugged in and going 100 miles an hour. You slow their motors down.
Absolutely.
So how do you keep them fired up for doing good things, being positive all the time? What do you do?
Well, I think as a parent, you just have to really overstress the importance of caring for other people because, you know, let's face it, children, they can get so self-centered and it's all about them at times. And so we just try to really instill into our kids, hey, you know, in this world, you're given certain abilities, you're given certain qualities about yourself.
Yeah.
Use that to somebody else's advantage. Use that to help somebody. So once again, you know, my last thought I leave with them before they get on the school bus, before they leave for school, it's like, hey, do something for somebody else today, no matter what that is. And I let them make that choice. I don't tell them what to do for that person, but I say, hey, do something that helps somebody else. And so with that.
Do you find out what they did?
Oh, yeah, because I asked them when they get back home. So what did you do for somebody? And so the answers are real unique.
Yeah.
And I know they're not making it up because it's like my son would say, you know what? So-and-so was lost today, but I helped point them in the right direction.
Right. Well, and, you know, as you say that, that's a good concept because, you know, there's a public service announcement series that's running and billboards to teach people to, you know, say thank you or be open, hold the door. I'm like, they got to tell you all this.
Yeah.
I mean, really. So it's obviously no longer something that civilized America does.
Exactly. You know, and you know, Sharon K, I have a teaching when I do some training for staff, and I just did this the other day with adults, and it's called the fundamentals of leadership, and yeah. It's going back to first base.
Right.
And I tell people, you know, we've lost the art of first base. And what I mean by that, you know, my son plays baseball, and when he played T-ball, that was his first time ever. And so you know, he was 4 years old. So you got 4 year-olds and five-year-olds out there playing T-ball, and you can almost imagine what that looks like. Kids are running around everywhere. And so as the coaches, the league sent us an email and said, hey, this is what we want you guys to teach the kids. We want you to teach them how to feel the ball, catch the ball, and throw it to first base. So that was the very fundamental thing they wanted us to teach the kids.
Right.
Because, you know, in T-ball, you know, they hit the ball, kids, you know, fight forward, and they get it and throw it to everywhere first base. But we're trying to teach them the fundamentals, because you can't advance in the game of baseball if you're not throwing the ball to first base. And so we try to figure out, okay, what are some of those first base moments that we're missing in life? Well, mm-hmm. I say, you know, the first base of being kind to somebody, being courteous to somebody, asking somebody how their day went. Those are some very fundamental things I think that we've forgotten about. First base of just doing what you said you were going to do. First base of showing up when you said you were going to show up. Those are fundamental things that, and I agree with you, society has gotten away from that, and
so
we've got to go back
and
reach our young people and train them once again. First base of saying thank you. First base of saying yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and things like that. And so,
well, you know, what you just said was so important, because doing what you say you're going to do. Because most people nowadays, we live in a realm, outer space realm, where lies are the truth and your lying eyes and, you know, that stuff. I mean, you know, you're just living in this world. It's just the opposite of what it really is.
People.
It's just nuts. So when you say you're going to do something, people absolutely don't believe it. And I tell my students and other people I encounter, I said I was going to do thus and so.
Yeah.
So let the record reflect. So you will say at least some point in your lifetime. But that's sad, but that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it happens all the time.
It does. And, you know, and I even teach people, I said, you know, one of the things that I do when somebody promises me something or say, I'm going to do so, it's like I just go ahead and factor in. It's like I'm not going to put all my apples in that basket.
Yes.
And because if you put all your apples in that basket, you're hoping that one person or what they said they were going to do, if they don't come through, then you feel devastated.
Yeah.
And so I think we've just come to a place where if somebody tells me they're going to do something, then I'll celebrate it when it's done.
Amen.
You know, thank you, you know.
Amen. Well, that's how I feel when the fundraiser's over. They said they were going to show up, Lord, and they did. I just want to thank you. I mean, you just really feel like that.
Yeah. And once again, I think those are just fundamentals that we've got to go back and revisit.
Yes.
Instill back into our society. And start with our young people, you know, like even with our kids. It's, you know, and I think as parents, sometimes our kids can make us feel like we're being too harsh on them or too hard. But I remember having some adult conversations with my kids, and I let them know when they start complaining about something. I will go up, you know, at night, and I remember with my son, I laid down in his bed with him, and I'm like, you know, son, I said, you got a lot to be thankful for. I said, here we are laying in your bed in your own room.
Right.
I said, Daddy didn't have his own room till he was in high school.
Okay.
You know? And so I'm getting them to think beyond themselves.
Oh, you had one in high school? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see.
Get married and move before I got, I mean, also, really, also, you had it well. You had it real good. I had to share a room with my sister.
And I think that's going back and just really instilling that. You know, I tell my kids, like my daughter the other day, she's so cute. Well, you know, you've met her.
I have.
And so I go up to kiss her goodnight, and she goes, well, Daddy, I'm mad at you. I said, why, David? She goes, well, I wanted to do a sleepover, and now I can't because of you. Well, she know our rules on sleepover. Only certain people will allow.
Right.
And you can't have a sleepover in the middle of the week,
right,
you know, school week.
Of course.
And I went over that with her, and she goes, well, I feel like you don't like my life right now.
Oh. Wait till you become a teenager, baby.
I said, baby, I love your life. I said, now get daddy a kiss goodnight. She said, okay. So, but it's just reminding them, hey, it's you know, life is bigger than you and what you want.
Yeah.
And you have got to be thankful for what you do have because kids just think everything appears. So we love having those adult conversations with our children. It's like when they leave the water running, hey, that costs money.
Right.
You know, or they leave the lights on.
Do you know how many of these college students I have to remind that?
Yeah, you know. See? And
about everything.
Exactly. And I'm like, one day you're going to be, and the other day it was so funny, they wanted to go to the store. And there's a little, you know, the little gas station where we go get treats for them and stuff like that. So I did it for them the night before, but they wanted to go the next day. I said, well, grab your own money.
Okay.
And I made them pay for it. And so they're real good about using their money for the birthday money, when people send them money, whatever that is. So we're getting them in that habit of, if you want this, it's going to cost you.
So when they get a little bit older.
Yeah.
Get a job.
Exactly.
And here's how, because I literally did that to my own kids. Until they couldn't, they were stalking Kroger's, man.
They were.
Oh, I just can't wait to turn 14. Because I said, you know, no, you're not. Until, I mean, you know, I was tough, all right?
Yeah.
I was a tough mama. But, you know, tough love, you know. My parents didn't give me everything.
Exactly.
I had to earn it.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to earn it.
Yeah.
And I thought, to me, they would take better care of it. If they did earn it.
If they earned it. If they paid for it. If they.
What a difference. And you wait till your kid. You wait.
Yeah.
When they come to you and mama and get to talking about, I need a prom dress, a car, some $250 tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And you know how they're going to do now.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming. So, Adonis, in 10 years when you come back on the show again.
Yeah.
You'll be back before then. But I'm just saying, let's just say, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. Babies growing up, high school. Your stories are really going to change.
Oh yeah, they are.
Yes, Lord. you will have some white hair on
your
head.
Just to say, I'm gonna have some hair full of gray hair. Oh yeah,
definitely. Well, we are happy to have our dear brother Adonis Lindsay in the studio. Sometime, you know, we had periods that have been so stressful. It's good to, you know, hear from a motivational speaker and somebody that can just give you another focus.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. And I just took you under my wing, and you didn't ask me for this, did I? I mean, you didn't say nothing.
Did.
I said, now look, I need you to do X, Y, Z.
That's what you said. Yeah.
And because I felt like, you know, you had the vibe.
But it's been good and it's been fun, and I enjoy coming out here, being on the program, and I enjoy speaking to Nashville, and I enjoy just encouraging people from all walks of life. So definitely this is a blessing for me as well.
Well, and we have a beautiful global audience that listens at WFSKFM.org all over.
Love it.
So you're not just speaking to Nashville.
Yeah.
You're speaking to the planet.
To the planet. Love it.
Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Still heavy traffic flow here as you leave Nashville, headed out to Murfreesboro on 24 East here coming past Bell Road. Looked like there was a wreck tying up the intersection of White Bridge and Burgess Blair at 21st and Belmont. Was tied up on that particular crash. Heavy, but it's still moving on 65 now northbound up through Madison, passing OHB all the way up to that ramp there to Vietnam Vets. This traffic report brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Dolezville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from the Center for Research on Men's Health at Vanderbilt University. The Center for Research on Men's Health at Vanderbilt University is now recruiting men for a weight loss program called TaylorMade Solutions for Your Health. TaylorMade is for overweight African-American men 35 to 64 years old in the Nashville area. For more information, please email the TaylorMade team at taylormade@vanderbilt.edu or #250 and use the keyword TaylorMade.
Millions retire online so they can do what they want offline. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we provide more than $150 billion each year in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone. Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more at studentaid.gov.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you, and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. And it is your Wednesday Take You Home Drive Time edition of the 411 show. And the first Wednesday in the month of October. And we have our empowerment and encouragement time with Adonis Lindsay, author, minister, and speaker. And Adonis, this our intern that's here today. This is our first time hearing and meeting you.
Yeah.
So I just happened to mention $250 tennis shoes. And her name is Nzinga Walker, and she's here doing her she's a TSU student, and she is here doing her internship because she's getting ready to graduate.
Yeah.
And they sent her down here because they know that Miss K don't play.
That's right. Okay. She's about to find that out right now.
Yeah, well, and she came in here during the break because of the $250 shoe comment.
Comment, yeah.
So,
with a look on her face.
Yeah, like how dare you talk about it. So, excuse me, generation millennial,
yes.
Right now. How do you feel about what I said? You look to me like, "Oh, Miss K, excuse me?"
You were an advocate of $250 shoes. That's what I thought.
Okay, so what were you thinking?
Well, I got what you said once you explained it, uh-huh. You know. But because I had to think about it, I'm not a shoe person. I'm more of a hair person. But that's the same amount of money that I'm spending. But it's all about, you know, what you're taught at the end of the day with your parents.
Okay.
And I was, you know, as I was talking about earlier with y'all about it's, you know, your parents say, "I want to give my child, you know, whatever I didn't have. And so it's all about that mindset. But then to what extent do we teach the child, okay, I did have to pay for this with my money and with me working.
Right, right.
But yeah,
so
that's how I got it.
You don't think that's too much money for a kid to have a pair of shoes?
$250. If they working.
And if they are not.
If they're not, then, yeah, I think it's too much to be teaching a child that $250 shoes is. But then again, okay, that's like a college student. Let's say a freshman. Most students don't go to college and work, at least their freshman year. So then their parents are the ones that's providing everything. So that could be like a reward for good grades. Okay, I've, you know.
How
I'm
about
doing
some groceries?
And
yeah,
then I'm going
okay.
to
and I think with that, I think it's priorities. And I think it's each individual mindset.
Yes,
like for me,
yes.
I could go out and buy a $250 pair of shoes for myself, for my kids, but it's like, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I could have done so much more with that money.
Right.
Something like you said, groceries or pay a bill with that money.
Yeah,
and it's like, you're going to grow out of those shoes
in
6 months.
Well, and you know, that's to me a good parenting decision when you have thought about it to that degree versus just doing whatever they ask.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't want to manipulate, but you know, some people do. And just to get what they want and forget about whoever doesn't have anything else. And, you know, if mama has to go out and take her bill money to buy you a pair of shoes, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's real.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of parents, speaking of parents doing that for their kids, they make a sacrifice for their children when they're in college and freshmen.
Yeah.
Because they need things. And for the first time, they're not there at home, so, you know.
Yeah.
I know when my granddaughter went to UT her first year, and she told my granny, I only have like $10. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, we have an emergency then. We,
yeah. You know? Yeah. It's a bigger problem than you only have.
I'm like, what? Oh, no. So, I mean, she said, I had spent down. I haven't got my job yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, boom, done.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just the facts are is that – you know, and I guess sometime if you don't know when the child goes to school, like, you know, college and leaves town, that they're going to have things. But I don't know about $250.
Yeah, I think it's teaching.
And $300 pocketbooks.
I think it's teaching, you know, them at an early age what's a necessity.
Yeah.
What's a want.
Right.
You know, and, you know, what's a true need. And this is just something that you want.
Right.
And I think with that, you know, because we always got to look at it like we're setting this child up for the future because mom and dad will always be around.
Correct.
And so we're trying to instill into them a mindset to be wise with their finances.
Right.
And also, you know, to get away from the mindset. And I'm not saying everybody's like this, but it's so easy to get materialistic.
Sure.
And trying to keep up with somebody who doesn't even care about, you know what I mean?
That's
and it's
true.
Like, if you're trying to, you know, impress somebody or keep up with somebody, then, man, you're going dead over that.
Right.
And so, you know, especially if they're in college, I think that the good setup is for, you know, them to be financially literate.
Right.
To where it's like they understand a budget. They understand, hey, this is how much I got coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything against rewarding yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, but teaching them how to reward themselves.
Exactly.
What does that look like? What
right.
percentage of your paycheck needs to go towards you rewarding yourself?
Yeah.
You know?
And how many rewards can you give yourself?
You know? Be disciplined.
Be
disciplined.
Before you have some kind of addiction going
exactly.
on, you know. So, Nzinga, do you remember your mama telling you that she was going to give you your heart's desire? Did that ever happen in your growing up?
What you mean by like?
Well, I mean, you know, that you could ask her for $200 shoes.
No.
Yeah. No.
There you go. There you go.
$200 shoes, that's a far stretch.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was saying at least age 8 or 7, uh-huh. that's when they was telling me, okay, if you want this, you want your hair, you want all that, you're going to have to work for that.
Okay.
Now, I was working, you know, small jobs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'll wash the car. Like,
yeah.
But it was still teaching me setting
teaching
up that I
yeah.
have to work to get what I want.
Okay.
And so now that I'm older and I want a little more extravagant things, But then again, you know, I got a daughter, so I can't be too extravagant.
There you go. Right. Priorities, yeah.
Right, I have to set things aside on how much money, like I was telling you about my budget, how much money I can spend towards hair. Yeah. I know I can't go too far on that. Or how much money I can spend towards, whatever my daughter needs in regards to, like, clothing and stuff like that. I have to set goals to reach it. So, you know, I really do feel like it's about parents, how they teach you.
Yeah.
Or guardians. Whoever.
Well, it's a good thing your mother taught you so that you can teach your daughter.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
And you won't,
It goes down from generation to generation. I remember when I was younger and maybe elementary school, and my dad took me shopping for a pair of shoes. It's interesting that we're talking about shoes, but he took me, I needed some new shoes.
Yeah.
So he took me to the store. I never will forget this. He's like, how about this shoe here? I'm like, oh, I don't like that. He goes, and about the fourth shoe I said I didn't like, he goes, well, oh, you don't want any shoes then. Right. Let's go. Like, he's done.
Because it was in his price range. Okay,
he's like, well, you don't want any shoes.
Yeah, that's family code for you. You know, you better go on and get these
exactly.
shoes.
Exactly.
You're playing with me. But, I mean, to me, it's like, and everybody has different things that they see as the ultimate value. But I don't know why shoes has transcended everybody's, you know, generational process.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there used to be a time when, if you got a pair of $9.95 kicks, you had it going on.
You was good. You solid. You straight. You good.
You had it going on.
Yeah.
Unless it don't match your outfit. I mean, you was up. But it's just now, I think the value system has shifted and changed so much.
Definitely.
And I think
that's part of the problem.
Yes, and I think that's reining our young people back in,
especially
within the home, the family unit, and talking, you said the right word right there, the value system, and really instilling values. And I think every family needs to come up with, you know, their own set of values that they can communicate to their children at a young age, and that child grows up with those values instilled into them.
Right.
You know, not let the world set your values. That's the thing. Not let the world set your values, but let each individual family unit come together and say, hey, this is what we're going to value in the house. We're going to value respect. We're going to value honor. We're going to value telling the truth. We're going to value treating one another kindly. We're going to value taking care of what God has already blessed us with. We're going to clean up our rooms. You know, we made a contract for our kids, and we had them sign it that says, every day when I wake up, I'm going to clean my room. I took pictures of a clean room, and this is what the room needs to look like. They signed that.
Contract?
A contract. And
man,
so,
that's too much. I couldn't have grown up in that contract.
I had them sign a contract.
That's
and
too
it
much
says,
pressure.
And it says if they don't make up their bed, then they can't go out and play with their friends that day. And so they've honored that. There's been times where they've missed that, but it's instilling into them, waking up, taking care of what God's blessed me with.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking that for granted.
My parents did old-fashioned allowance. You know, you do the following things. These are your chores. Each one of the four of us had our own set of chores. So I was trying to get my quarter.
Yeah.
So I can go buy some candy.
There you go.
Yeah, I was like, I'm doing my stuff. It's done. So, I mean, you know, everybody, but it's working though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kids are, you know, loving it.
Kids are loving it, and it's, you know, it's our schedules. You know, we're in a season where, once again, our schedules are so hectic because they're doing some extracurricular things. But it's finding that time to rest and settle and, like, okay, let's come up with a plan how we're doing this.
Yes.
You know? And still enjoying each other.
Yeah.
You know, still having that family time where it's not, you know, the three of us sitting watching him play baseball, but it's the four of us out doing something together.
Yeah. Now, let's close up the last couple of minutes just talking about staying encouraged and, you know, not so much the children, but the grown folks, because they need to be fortified and lifted. So let's talk about that for about a minute or so, Adonis.
Yeah, I think as adults, you know, it's so easy to get into that feeling of being overwhelmed just by your daily schedule.
Yeah.
Sharon Kay, things you have to do, projects you got to work on, what the kids are doing. And I think as adults, if we can find that time where we still have to be refreshed.
Yeah.
We still have to figure out, okay, what is it that fuels me up? Because when we miss out on that, then we're operating on E, on an empty tank. Yeah. And that's when we get frustrated. That's when we get easily discouraged. That's when we get burned out. And that's when we don't want to get out of bed on Monday morning.
Right.
And so I just, as adults, I always encourage people, try to find that one thing or a couple things that you do, okay? It's not task-oriented, but it's the thing that you do that just replenishes your energy,
right,
no matter what that is.
Right.
Because if we don't, once again, we're going to stay in that mode of discouragement. We're going to stay in that mode of man, this is just overwhelming what I'm going through,
right,
and the schedule's so hectic. And so no matter what that is, you got to find that happy place. You got to find that one particular activity that you do, or it could
yeah.
be several, that, man, this is your thing. You enjoy
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're working at it. You
yeah.
just, but when you're doing it, it's fueling you up. Okay,
yeah.
it's not anything that's draining
it
you.
It could be sitting on the porch.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people
yeah.
think they got to break the bank and go
yeah.
pay
yeah.
a couple $100 for an activity. No,
yeah.
no, it's those little things, like
yeah.
you said, sitting on the porch,
yeah.
that quiet time,
yeah.
You know, and that quiet time where you're meditating, you're thinking, you're spending time in the Word of God, and,
yeah.
and you're getting your mindset correct.
And thanking Him for the days when you didn't have a porch.
Exactly.
Okay. See,
exactly.
That's my stuff right
yes,
there. I'd be
yes.
like, ooh, blade of grass.
And you know,
hallelujah.
And
I got
it's
some
those,
grass in my yard.
And it's those moments where you got to turn off social media. You got to turn off the TV. You got to turn off the news.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one there.
Ooh, now you're hitting my territory.
Look at
now.
There. Look at there.
Turn off the news.
Turn off,
oh, Lord.
Turn off CNN.
Oh, Lord. What you saying?
Turn it
son.
Off. To where you can have some good quality downtime,
yeah.
you know, and you're refreshing your soul, you're refreshing your mind, you're replenishing your energy, whatever
yeah.
that is. Make sure you put that in your schedule, whether you're doing
Absolutely.
Something daily.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying you got to spend 2 hours a day doing
well,
it.
Well, they can
you don't
listen
have time.
To this radio station.
Listen to the radio station.
Okay, because
yeah.
we have the best music.
There you go.
See, that's
it's
up.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
Adonis, I know you have the book and the website and the speeches and things and speaking that you do. Where's all the info on you?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's AdonisLenzy.com. That's A-D-O-N-I-S, Lenzy, L-E-N-Z-Y.com. And all my information is on there.
Okay, 45-second prayer. What is it?
Yes. Can we pray?
Do it.
Awesome. Just want to pray. We've been talking about parents and children, so let's just pray for the family, Sharon Kay. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, Lord God. And I just speak a blessing over every family unit that is listening, that is represented, Lord God, as they're listening to this radio broadcast. We thank you for your amazing peace to settle on every family, Lord God, mm-hmm. upon every father, every mother, every child, Lord God. We just declare your perfect unity with that family, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that you are teaching them how to balance, how to not lay aside that together time, Lord God. But I just pray in advance that when they do come together as a family unit, Lord God, their spirits will be refreshed,
Amen.
Their joy will be restored, Lord God. Their tanks will be full, Lord God, and the love, Lord God, will be overflowing for one another. We declare that, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.
On the way to Bible study. I know y'all said it in the car. I know you did. All right, Nashville. That Adonis, it's always my pleasure.
Yes, yes. Love being here with you.
Thank
in person.
You.
In the
yeah.
studio.
Hey. It's the AdonisLenzy.com?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. That's all, Nashville. That is ALL that we have for you. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.